Todsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I'm going to read a passage from Luke chapter 5, and I have entitled this message, Am I a Sinner? I hope you'll consider that. We're not asking if somebody else is a sinner. Am I a sinner? May each one of us ask ourselves that question. We already know everybody else is sinners, but am I a sinner? In Luke chapter 5, we read in verse 4, Now when he had left speaking of the Lord Jesus, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, they had been fishing all night, and they hadn't caught anything. And these men made a living fishing. They understood fishing. And I'm sure when the Lord made that request, after they'd already began washing their nets and were probably very tired, he was thinking, should we launch out again? But look at Peter's answer. And Simon Peter answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We understand fishing, and we have taken nothing. And then he says, I think in a way to humor the Lord, he had some respect for the Lord's teaching. He did not yet know who he was because he called him Master, Teacher. He's going to call him Lord after this. But now he's in respect to him as his great teacher. He says, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw. Now he saw something that he had not previously seen. He saw that the reason those nets were filled was because the Lord said to those fish, get in the net, and they got in the net. And he knew this was what only God can do, what only the Lord can do. He now knew who the Lord was. Now, hear his response. When Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, the place of worship, saying, Depart from me, O Lord, I am a sinful man. You don't want to have anything to do with me. Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You see, he didn't know he was a sinful man until he found out who the Lord was. And when he saw who the Lord was, he saw who he was. A sinful man. Now this word sinful is the same word that's generally translated sinner. It's the same word that the publican in the temple used to describe himself, God be merciful to me, the sinner. A sinner. An especially wicked man. One devoted to sin. When you see you are a sinner, all sense of personal merit, personal rights, and entitlement dissipates. You know you are a sinner. Now, when I hear people respond to the gospel in a way where they're questioning God's fairness, for instance, they hear of election and predestination, how God elected who would be saved, and He predestinated who would be saved. And people say, well, how can it be fair for Him to elect some and not save everybody? Or I hear people respond to the atonement of Christ when they hear that Christ died only for the elect and accomplished their salvation. They say, how could that be fair? Now, the only way you can call into question the fairness of God is if you don't really believe that you are a sinner. Because if you really believe that you are a sinner, if God passes you by and lets you go to hell, this is still true. He is worthy of all worship. Just and holy is His name. Now, am I a sinner? That's what I titled this message. Am I a sinner? Not are you a sinner? I already know you are. You see, we all have an amazing ability to see clearly the sin in others that's really not so bad in ourselves. We're always quick to justify and vindicate ourselves, and what is so horrible in others is really not that bad in us. You see, the splinters in your eye are magnified to the point that I don't see the beams in my own eye. And when it's like that, it's because I'm not seeing myself as a sinner. Now, I've even heard people almost seem to justify themselves, at least I know I'm a sinner. Well, that's like saying, at least I know I'm a murderer, or at least I know I'm a thief, or at least I know I'm an adulterer. Does that make it any better? Does that make the sin any less guilty? No, it doesn't. Now, I'm asking the question again, am I a sinner, in the biblical sense of the word? Somebody says, well, isn't everybody sinners? Well, yes, but you're talking about generic sinners. Well, you're just putting yourself in the group of everybody else. And that's not what I'm asking at all. I'm not asking you if you're a generic sinner. I'm asking myself if I am a sinner in the biblical sense of the word. Now, not everybody is a sinner in their own eyes in the biblical sense of the word. Am I a sinner in the biblical sense of the word? Now, the question's important. Not am I elect. Not am I saved. Not did Christ die for me. Not have I been born again. That's not the question I'm asking. I'm asking this question, am I a sinner? And in reality, all of those other questions can be answered by your answer to this question and my answer to this question, am I a sinner? Now, to answer that question honestly and accurately, I'm going to have to understand what the Bible means by sin and what the Bible means by the word sinner. Now, when I understand the biblical meaning of the word sinner, and I know that that's what I am, I'll totally understand what Peter meant when he said, "Depart from me, Lord. You don't want to have anything to do with me. I am a sinful man, a man full of sin." The sinner is the one who commits the sin. I've heard preachers say, God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. You know, that's not found in the Bible. God doesn't put sins into hell. He puts the individuals who committed them into hell. A sinner is the one who commits the sin. Now, if there's a God, and there is such a thing as sin. Now, if there's no God, who's to say what's sin and what's not sin? Who's to say that there is sin in the first place? After all, isn't it survival of the fittest? But if there is a God, and there is, there is sin. Now, what does God call sin? I'm going to give several scriptures with regard to this. The first scripture I want to give is, sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. And he's speaking of the Ten Commandments. Now somebody says, what about somebody who's never heard of the Ten Commandments? There are many people who have never even heard of the Ten Commandments. How can sin be the transgression of the law to them if they've never even heard the Ten Commandments? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 2:16 that the law is written in the heart. Every man and woman born into this world knows that it's sin to lie, that it's sin to steal, that sexual sin is sin, that it's sin to murder, on and on. The law is written in men and women's heart. We're born into this world with that knowledge. Sin is the transgression of the law, so no one is without excuse. Everybody knows the difference between right and wrong. They're born into this world with that knowledge. Now, let's think of the Ten Commandments for just a moment. Real briefly, the Ten Commandments. You'll have no God before God. No idolatry. Don't take His name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your mother and father. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. The Ten Commandments. Now, if somebody hears those Ten Commandments and they may say, well, I wouldn't say that I actually put something before God. I'm not perfect, but I don't put things before God. And I've never bowed down to an idol. And I try to be reverent. I try to keep from taking His name in vain. And as far as the commandment with regard to Sabbath, it's irrelevant in our day. That was back with the Jews. I try to honor my parents. And I've never murdered anybody. And I may have bad, unclean thoughts, but I wouldn't call myself an adulterer. And, well, I may stretch the truth, but I'm not a liar. And I don't covet things. I'm not a greedy man. Sure, I'm a sinner, but I wouldn't identify myself like that. My dear friend, what kind of sinner are you then? If you're a sinner, that means all you do is break every one of those laws all the time. You have not kept one commandment one time. And if somebody says, I just can't see that in myself, there's only one reason, because you haven't seen who you really are. And you haven't seen who God really is. If you've seen who God really is, you'll see all the law does is condemn you. The Scripture says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law wasn't given to help you keep it. All it does is expose our disobedience. By the law is the knowledge of sin. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world stand guilty before God. Now, by the law is the knowledge of sin, and sin is the transgression of the law. Am I a sinner? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I have not kept one of those commandments one time. And if I think I have, all I prove is I don't understand God's holy law nor my own sinfulness. Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatever is not generated from faith, the gift of God's grace, whatever it may be, is sin. You know, when the Lord said in John chapter 16, when He has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, He will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on Me. If you even think that faith is in your ability, that you can believe whenever you decide you want to believe, you prove you don't really believe you are a sinner. And whatsoever is not generated from saving faith is sin. James said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do you know to do good and yet you don't do it? I'll be honest. That would describe my life. That would describe your life. Am I a sinner? Yes, I am. And then James also tells us that to show respect of persons is sin. To give someone a different standard than somebody else by how they can benefit us. And we look at one person in one light and another person in another light. That's to show respect of persons. Really, there's only one person who has never shown respect of persons, and that is God Himself. And He demonstrated on the cross when He showed no respect of persons to His Son, the sins of God's people became His sins and God punished Him. God didn't show respect of persons with Him, but to show respect of persons, to give people different standards, is sin. Listen to this, Proverbs 24, verse 9, the thought of foolishness is sin. Somebody says, well, God can't condemn me for my thoughts. Yeah, He can. The thought of foolishness is sin. And then in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, we read, a high look, the look of pride, a high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. That high, condescending look, that proud heart, pride's the most baseless thing in the world. What do you have that you didn't receive? Now, if you received it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? It's baseless, it's groundless, it's wicked. A high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, I can't think of anything that seems more wholesome than plowing. You go out and plow the ground, dig the furrows to plant food, say to feed the poor. If a wicked man does it, it's sin. No matter how innocent it may appear, it is sin. John put it this way in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We've lost all credibility. If we say we've not sinned, I'm including everything. My preaching, my praying, my witnessing, my Bible reading, my effort at good works. You know what it is in and of itself? Sin. If we say we've not sinned, we make Him a liar because He says we have. And His Word does not dwell in us. John tells us that all unrighteousness is sin. Any lack of perfect conformity to absolute righteousness is sin. This is who God is. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Anything in your life fallen short of the glory of God? Everything. Then, according to the Scriptures, it is sin. Now, the first time the word is mentioned is with regard to Cain bringing that wrong offering. Abel brought the blood offering, saying, I can't be accepted by God in any way apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming Lamb. Cain saw no necessity in this. He brought the wrong offering, the best works of his hands, the fruit of the ground. And God rejected him. He had no respect to his offering. You see, he demonstrated a wicked heart. Did he think God could accept something he brought? He proved such ignorance of himself, ignorance of the character of God. And he was upset that God rejected his work. And his countenance was fallen. And God said, why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? But if you don't do well, if you bring the wrong sacrifice, if you don't look to Christ, sin lieth at the door. Sin is the cause. Now, I repeat the question. Am I a sinner? Looking at what God says with regard to sin. I'm not asking if you feel like you're a sinner. From these scriptural testimonies, are you a sinner? Now, if I am, in the biblical sense of the word that I've just read, that I've just commented on, what the Scripture says with regard to what sin is, how God defines it, what the sinner is, number one, I cannot not sin. Now you think about what I just said. I lack the ability to not sin. All I do is sin. Whatever comes from my flesh, Paul said, I know me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. All I do is sin. And listen, this sin I'm talking about is all my fault. I can't blame it on somebody else. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim to my circumstances, to my environment. My sin is all my fault. Yes, I'm a sinner by nature, but I'm a sinner by choice too, and a sinner by practice. This is all my fault. And if I'm a sinner, in the biblical sense of the word, I don't have room to stand in judgment on anybody for anything. For me to judge anybody is the act of hypocrisy, if I really am a sinner. And if I'm a sinner, that means I have no claim on God. If God passes me by, if God refuses to show me mercy, if God sends me to hell, just and holy is His name. I have no claims on God. I forfeited them by my sin. Am I a sinner? Paul said in Romans 7:13, but sin that it might appear sin. You know, sin is very deceitful. It'll trick you. Very deceitful. Sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good. That's talking about the law, exposing it. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Am I, right now, present tense, exceeding sinful? Am I a sinner? The answer to that is yes, I am. Let me say this. I didn't become that way when I sinned. I sinned because that's who I am. That's what I am. That is how I was born. Now somebody says, how in the world did that happen? Well, the scripture says by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, ended all sinned. You see, when Adam sinned, he did so as a representative man, and you and I sinned in him. And when he died, we died in him, and we're born into this world dead in sins. Now we have physical life, we have a soul, we have a body, but we're born into this world spiritually dead, completely depraved. Genesis 6:5 said, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, with regard to everything I've been saying, I want to read a passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 5. Beginning in verse 20, Paul makes this statement, and it's so important for us to understand this. He said, moreover, the law entered, talking about God's holy law, that the offense might abound. Not to restrain it, but that the offense might abound and overflow to where you see that everything you do or think and breathe is sin. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And did you hear that? There's one place where grace abounds. The place where sin abounds. That as sin hath reigned unto death. Now how much choice do you have in this thing of dying? Can you prevent it with perfect health practices and never being exposed to any kind of disease or sin? No. You will die in sin. Now, as the fence abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you're a place where sin abounds, you're a place where grace abounds. Now, I want to close up by looking at one scripture found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And before I read that passage of scripture, let me say that if in my preaching I said to you, God loves you, Christ died for you, God the Holy Spirit is calling you, God wants to save you, God wants to forgive your sin, if I spoke with that like that, I'd be lying on God. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" Well, I don't know if God loves you or not. I don't know if Christ died for you or not. I shouldn't tell somebody, I don't know whether it's true with regard to them, that God loves you, Christ died for you, and God the Holy Spirit's calling you. He does not save everybody. He said, "I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me." He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Not everybody's a sheep. There are goats also. It would be wrong for me to assure you that God loves you, Christ died for you, and God the Holy Spirit is calling you. Well, how can I know if He's doing this for me? I ask you to turn to 1 Timothy 1 if you've got a Bible. I suppose this is my favorite verse of Scripture. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Doesn't say believing sinners. Doesn't say elect sinners. Doesn't say born again sinners. Doesn't say good sinners. There's no such thing as a good sinner. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, are you a sinner? Am I a sinner? If I am a sinner, listen to me, if I am a sinner, that means Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. And my dear friend, He never fails in His intention. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." If I am a sinner, Christ came to save me. And that's exactly what He did. When He said, "It is finished," my salvation was accomplished. I'm saved by what somebody else did. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Now there's hope for sinners. And if you come as a sinner to Christ and believe on Him and ask Him to save you, He will save you. He has never turned down a sinner. He's called the friend of publicans and sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said, "I am chief." He didn't say, "I used to be chief before God saved me." He said, "of whom I am the chief." Are you a sinner? Well, if you are, Christ Jesus came into the world to save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, we have this message on DVD, CD. If you call the church, write. We'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send a request to todd.nyberg@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.